Senator, how many years have you been serving the Yakima Valley in your position?
This will be my 15th session in the legislature. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your service, man. I tell you, it seemed just like the other day when King Brothers and you guys were doing your wood thing, and it's like, wait a minute, Curtis is on every board and panel. He's going to run for office. Well, this makes total sense. I remember very clearly saying that it's like, here's a guy that's like been Mr. Yakima doing stuff, and now he's going to go truly be Mr. Yakima Valley. So, man, that time flies because it seems like it was yesterday. Well, here you are, as Lance teased earlier, flush with cash, heading back to Olympia. So. Let's start with the nuts and bolts of COVID first.
Yeah,
how's that going to affect your job and our abilities to interact with you?
Well, it's going to have a major impact, in my opinion. We are going to be limited to a total of 25 people on the floor, including the staff. And so there's approximately 15 legislators, 8 Democrats, 7 Republicans. So we'll alternate of the three, because our leadership needs to be there, and Senator Short, who runs the floor for our side of the aisle, those people have to be there every time we're on the floor. So there's three of us that will alternate. At this point, my plan is to be in my office in Olympia or on the floor, whichever they desire me to do. But we all have to be we all have to be tested at least every 72 hours. Mm. But they're testing us Monday morning from 7 to 3:30, Wednesday, and then Friday. So Friday, because it's 72 hours, get you to 7 o'clock on Monday.
Sure.
But I can't go to my office until I'm tested and get the results.
Jeez. Is this the nose swab thing?
I hope so.
Crazy.
Because if they're shoving this thing in my brain, I'm going to be a little upset.
Yeah.
Be a hard target for them to hit, but we'll see what they
can do. All right, so Lance Tormey carries the weight of the concerns of Yakima Valley, hops in his car, drives over to see you.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to get in to see you in the building?
He cannot. They are not letting lobbyists or citizens. You can get into the Ledge building. But they would not let you into Sherberg. They wouldn't let you in the new house.
Couldn't get into your office.
Cannot bring you to my office.
Wow.
Doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated, tested, whatever.
Yeah.
They've just closed it down. Now, they did say they're going to review it every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We asked them to review it every week and then give people a week's notice if things are going to change. But that's kind of where we're at.
Wow.
It's just interesting.
Well, it'll save you a lot of money. I mean, because last year when I came, maybe it was a latte. You bought me lunch.
Stop it.
All that stuff.
First of all, he called security is what he did. Had you swept from the building.
That's cool. Well, okay. And are you used to that format because of last year? I mean,
I would say I'm kind of used to it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason that all of the bills that passed last year that we have heartburn over, the police reforms, the drug reforms, all of those things, it's because there wasn't this interaction. You couldn't go down on the floor when we're getting ready to vote on bills and talk to the other side of the aisle and say, would you consider this change? Would you consider doing this? It's very difficult now to go to their office even and sit down and have a conversation with somebody from the other side of the aisle. And when you're in the minority, that's the choice you have. And what we saw last session in a lot of cases, and the operating budget is the prime example. They walked in 2 days before we signed any died, said, here's the budget. It's agreed to with the Democrats in the House.
We got the
vote. We're going to vote. They voted. I believe it was 28 to 21. Went over to the House. They voted. And within 2 days, it was on the governor's desk. And that's not the way we should be running government, But there's a lot of things. The governor's emergency orders now. I mean, we need to get that taken back to where we're back in the kind of government that we're supposed to have, not one person. I mean, in March, it'll be 2 years that he has been running the state by himself.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're about in this country. And it's time that we take it back. Well, this is no longer an emergency. Do we need to do things? Do we need to be careful? Do we need to be vaccinated? I would say yes to all those things. But it is no longer an emergency. He no longer should be the one making all those decisions. So we'll see where that goes.
How does that happen, though? You're in the same. You're not going to be able to talk to colleagues again, and I mean,
it's not the challenge we got to work through.
Yeah,
And honestly, I'm trying to figure that out. Mm. Because I do believe there'll probably be a few more people in Olympia, a few more legislators, and I'm hoping that a lot of them will be the Democrats, because that's who we have to talk to.
Right.
Our committee meetings are all going to be virtual, and the testimony from people like yourself would be virtual, so at least you don't have to drive over to Olympia.
Yeah.
Especially with the weather we got going on, and I'll talk about that in a minute, because there's a reason why we're shutting down the passes. It seems to be on a pretty regular basis, and if I can skip to that, I would say,
yeah, well, that's where we're on.
I mean, Republicans say it's time to invest in Washington's aging transportation infrastructure with all this surplus that we've got.
Yeah, well, it is, and I'll get to that. But the point is, I feel really badly about the DOT workers that we have trying to get our passes open.
Yeah.
And doing everything they can, because guess what? We fired a couple hundred people. Because they wouldn't, you know, the governor said you got to be tested or you're fired. Now these are the same people that have been doing that job for 20 months without a problem. But all of a sudden, because you have one person saying you got to be vaccinated or you're fired, there's no alternatives. We have alternatives now on the Senate floor. You got to be tested. Well, why didn't we do that for these people? So now we have a very minimal crew. And minimal isn't even the word.
Yeah, right.
Trying to do what the best they can. Those are the ones I feel sorry for, as well as the people that got fired.
Yeah.
There was no reason that we had to do it the way it was done.
7 days a week now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said, one of the snowplow operators, it says, to put all the burden on the few that are left behind to maintain these roads and have the media negate what is being done to these employees, chalking up to weather issue when the mandate is part of the problem, is a slap in the face, one of the snowplow drivers says.
Well, it's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's
right.
Who, I mean, we got to give them all the credit in the world,
because
they're doing the best they can.
That's right.
But when you're supposed to have twice as many people there doing it, you know, you got a problem. And you say, oh, well, the pass is shut down for a day or 2 days. Well, that's our economy, folks.
Yeah.
You know, we got trucks. Yeah. There's back in 2012, they told me there were 8,000 trucks a day, semis, that went across that pass. It's probably 10 now.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they're not doing it today.
No, anyway, they're not. And what about all of those dairy trucks that are all going over? All that dairy, I suppose, is either going to be dumped or it's got to get somewhere somehow.
The only chance they have right now is to go down through Sadus.
Yeah.
But I heard 84 was closed yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's reopened. But, that's a two-hour trip for me.
Right.
It's you add 2 hours to the three-hour to get to Olympia.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway.
Well, we certainly hope that some kind of reasonable discussions can take place about plugging our elected representatives back into the process. I know that the purple robe with the ermine trim and the big gold crown, Jay fits Jay really well, and he really likes it. That scepter just kind of fits in his hand, but he's going to have to realize that he's one part of a multi-division of government, and we're going to have to get you guys back with a little more say.
Yeah.
All right. But we do have money. We do have some money.
We have lots of money.
And how we do that, we'll speak to the philosophy, I suppose, of each side of the aisle, whether it's prudent to stash some away and to take care of some, as we say, infrastructure issues that will you know, sustain us for, you know, 40, 50 years going ahead versus coming up with another new program that may or may not accomplish what it was intended, but will be feel good and sound good. Those kind of decisions and those kind of conversations are going to have to take place, right?
They are. Yeah, we, you know, we drained the, I shouldn't say we, the other side of the aisle drained the rainy day fund last session. Didn't need to, but they did. And then, you know, so looking at transportation as an example, we have a new chair since Senator Hobbs was appointed or selected as the new Secretary of State. He was the chair in the Senate. Senator Mark Olias now is the new chair. He and I, in my opinion, have a great relationship. We've worked very well together. We worked on Connecting Washington, that package when we put it together in 2015. So I'm looking forward to working with him. I would tell you, in that feeling of bipartisanship, he called me once he had truly been
picked as the guy.
Yeah. He called me and said, "Hey, you know, we work well together. I want to work with you. I want to have whatever we decide to do, be it a package or whatever. I want it to be bipartisan."
Yeah.
And that's and I'm willing to work with you as best I can to get there. And he meant it. I have a great deal of respect for him. So we'll see where we can go. But we have $1.3 billion from the feds that came last year that hasn't been allocated anywhere.
That's COVID money just sitting there?
It's just sitting there.
Okay.
So $1.3 billion. Wow. We are getting more money now under the new infrastructure bill. We're trying to figure out where that is. But that's going to be several billion dollars that will be coming.
Separate from what you already talked about, right?
The
quote, bipartisan infrastructure bill that was, what, maybe 30% infrastructure under traditional terms, right? Okay.
Anyway, we won't go there.
All right.
But so we have that money. We believe we have a verbal commitment out of the chair of Ways and Means that at least some percentage of the sales tax on cars and trucks will be given to the transportation. So we have what I would consider a substantial amount of money in 2022. Now in 2023, with the cap and trade bill that was passed, that's going to start generating several hundred million dollars a year. But it's limited because the environmentalists were upset because we had the 18th Amendment and the gas tax money could only be used for roads, bridges, and highways. So the cap and trade money, they've said, you can't use it for roads, bridges, and highways, cannot be done. So, in my opinion, we as a legislature need to figure out, okay, if that's the scenario, then where do we use that money that we can supplant or we can, you know, because where we have the biggest need is in our ferry system, finish our culvert requirements from the courts. We're $8 to $9 billion behind in maintenance and preservation. So, I mean, there's ways we can do this, but we got to do it to solve our problems and not just, you know, flitter it away and end up with nothing being resolved.
Oh, geez. Yeah. KIT News Time, 7:58. We've been speaking with Senator Curtis King about the legislative session that starts on Monday.
One last question, Lance, before you scoot on into anything else, and that is, what percentage of your time focuses on transportation? I mean, that's not the only thing that you guys do over there, but that's kind of been your thing. How do you divide up your time, would you say?
Well, up until the last couple of years, I'm ranking now on labor and commerce. So it's probably about 50-50.
Okay.
Between the labor and commerce issues and transportation. It'll vary, obviously, one week to the other. But
okay. I just was curious if it was like...
No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
People want to get a hold of you during this session. How do they do it?
Well, the 360-786-7626 should be my same number that I've had for years. I am moving my office, so I will no longer be in the new house building. I'll be over in the Ledge building. Because at the end of this year, they're going to start tearing a new house down and move those that are left into portables. That didn't sound like a real fun thing for me, and I had an opportunity, unfortunately, with the passing of Senator Erickson, that his office was open, so I decided I'd move over there. I've never been in the Ledge building, but so that'll be interesting. But just, you know, they
you're all over. You can DuckDuckGo or Google, whatever, to find your
you
name.
You can find me at a variety of places.
Yep.
I'm in the phone book.
Right on.
You know, so.
Senator, thanks for coming in this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. You got it.